Mr. Friedman, misery loves company. So on this day, people talking hockey in Calgary are extending an olive branch to talk hockey with people from Toronto.
Yeah, they're all miserable, right?
Oh, my goodness. Zero goals on a road trip, and all of a sudden, the last four games for the Flames, zero wins and three goals on 125 shots. They're not this bad, but those are the facts.
Those are the facts. They haven't looked great. There's no question about that. And what did they score? One against Dallas, so... And it hasn't been very good lately. There's no question about it.
What do you see? What's the identity of this group? That's the one question I continue to ask, and no one can really answer. They don't look like last year's team that seemed to have an identity.
No, they really don't. There's no question about that. I understand. You know, I've been reading a little bit today about what's been written and said out in your city, and I can see the bullseye of square on two players. And, the thing about Monahan was last year in the playoffs, what, he had 34 goals in the regular season last year? I think 25 of them were basically right in front of the net. And in the playoffs, he didn't even get shot attempts from there. And he just, like he just doesn't seem to be getting to the places. Either it's he can't get to the places where he needs to score from, or he can get there and the puck is not getting to him. Like, I saw some situations, and Goodrow admitted he was struggling earlier this year, and he's the creative guy. He gets the puck into the zone, and he gets it to where Monahan needs to score. Those two guys, their games are very dependent on each other. And when one isn't there, it takes down the other one. And I think in this particular case, because Goodrow isn't himself, it's taken down both of them. And that's where a lot of your offense has gone. You know, he was a guy last year, I remember I'd come on, there was talk about him and the Hart Trophy because of how good he was and how much he was elevating other players. You know, that's missing this year, and that's a big problem.
It's just baffling for this fan base that a club with five players that eclipsed 70 points last season can struggle so mightily offensively. It's almost the same team. I mean, there's been some changes, but they've been fringe ones. There's no core part gone. Mike Smith was worse more than he was great last year.
James Neal was not a big part.
No, not at all. So it's just how in the... I mean, I guess this is the NHL. That's the only way to explain it I can find.
Well, yes and no. I do wonder about it. It's pretty clear to me, and I'm three provinces away, but from watching it here, and I kind of alluded to it on the morning show on Friday, the relationship between, you know, the coach and the players, it seems tense. It's very clear that your coach is unhappy with what he's seeing. It doesn't take a genius. All you've got to do is go on to the website, the team website, and watch his quotes or read what he has to say or watch him before and after games. He's not happy with them. And I think, when you're constantly under criticism, like, I believe the best coaches, you have to be able to deliver your message in different ways. And, you know, I know why he's frustrated. They aren't playing well. I mean, anybody can see that. The one thing I just wonder is he's been on them for a while, and I wonder if the players start to say, I can't stand hearing the same message. Now, I'm not saying the coach should be fired. I think a lot of that is, I think this is as much, if not more, on the players than it is on the coach. But I can see the frustration level rising from him. And I do worry when your message is so similar as his is, you have to find another way to make it work. I think the other part of that is, you know, a lot of the players, they kind of tuned out Gullitson at the end. And I could see the organization saying, we're not letting that happen with two coaches. So I think that right now, and I do think your GM is looking for help. You know, I mentioned it on the weekend you can sense the team is impatient. I think he's spent a lot of time over the last week making calls and seeing what's out there. We'll see if he can get any legwork done and anything tomorrow when they're all in Toronto. But I do think that right now the organization is thinking, you know, the players, the message got lost from the last coach. And now whose fault is it that maybe the message is getting lost from this coach?
And there's two ways to look at it. So Tkachuk post-game yesterday.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's bad. It's bad right now. We need to change this around. Something's got to change here. We got to get back to the old us and get out of this little funk here because this is not fun. That screams change. The flip side is probably not the best time to go shopping players on your roster when almost everyone is off to a below average or worse than career norm start.
Well, you know, I don't think you're making major moves. Like nobody, like for example, let's just say for argument's sake, okay? For argument's sake, I don't believe that this is the case at this time. But let's just say for argument's sake that your GM was to decide, you know what, it's time to move Goodrow. You're not doing that right now. It's really, I should never say never, but it's extremely unlikely you're doing that right now. If you're doing that, you're doing that at the end of the year, okay? So I think that right now, anything you're doing is not necessarily a major move. You know, Frolik's been available for a while. They haven't been able to do that. Obviously Brody had been available. You know, thankfully it seems like he's going to be okay. But at this point in time, you're much more worried about his health than anything else. I mean, you're not doing necessarily a radical change to your organization. But what he's probably looking at is some small things. I heard maybe right wing, just something small that can try to give you a bit of a jolt, or something that's not major to give you a bit of a jolt, get you some help. I don't think, Ryan, you're doing major surgery right now. I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
In terms of things that could give jolts, is there anything out there that might be available right now?
You know, I can't tell you 100%. Put it this way. I think if he could have done something, he already would have. I think maybe the market's beginning to loosen up a little bit. But generally, I feel that if there was anything he could have done already that was really out there that he wanted to do, he would have done it already.
Looking elsewhere around the league, the rumblings about Babcock in Toronto just get louder and louder and louder. This week didn't help silence any of that. Well, what's the latest going on in Leafland?
It's been tough here. I mean, it's similar. You've had Peters, and he's very Babcockian. There are some real similarities there. But this is only his second year, and in Toronto, Babcock's been here 5. I do think at times I've wondered if his message is getting through. Again, I don't only think this is coaching. I think there's, you know, the players look a little bit lost right now and haven't really played that hard recently when they got steamrolled in a couple of recent games. I think there's a lot of concern about what's going on. I think the biggest issue there is that they've never been healthy. You know, they started the year short. Dermott and Hyman, two important forwards. They come back. Tavares got hurt. They all come back. Marner got hurt. And then, you know, they keep losing guys. And I think that's definitely part of the problem. But, you know, their backup goaltending situation has not been very good. Their depth forwards have not been very good. Tyson Barry, I reported on his situation on Saturday night that he hasn't asked for a trade, but I think if this continues, I think it's only a matter of time until that occurs. I just think that there's a real, they're unsettled and they're unbalanced. And, you know, to me, part of me generally in life feels that you should force people like that to work together. You know, life isn't so easy that you can always get rid of people all the time. But, you know, I don't know if they'll look at it the same way. I mean, it's a big year there. And, you know, I mean, we've seen teams in the last decade fire coaches and go to the Stanley Cup final or win the cup. And I wonder if the organization feels they have the possibility for that. But I just think it's very similar to your situation where things are not going as well as they should be.
And both teams, correct me if I'm wrong, really had very mediocre final thirds of last season. You put that together with a really ho-hum first quarter of this season for the Leafs and the Flames, and that's a pretty large chunk of hockey where they weren't real good.
The difference, I'd say, Ryan, is that the Leafs are a very different team than yours, Scott. You, like, I mean, how different are you guys? Neil for Lucic, what else?
I think they're totally different teams. I just mean we're talking about 50-plus games where neither team's been that good.
Like the Flames roster, how different is it?
Very.
From last year?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were comparing to the Leafs. Okay, yeah. It's a very similar group to last year. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Toronto's team is very different. Like, I don't think, I mean, you could make that comparison in Calgary's case because I think their team is mostly similar. You know, Smith and Neil are your main changes. But as you said earlier, I mean, Smith was a big part of you guys. Neil, not so much. But Toronto's team is very different.
That's fair. What else are you hearing out there? There's got to be more markets outside of Toronto and Calgary, I'm sure. I just can't really recall any at this point.
Well, you know, I think that when you take a look at what's going on out there, I mean, you know, some of the hot spots are, you know, Buffalo. Zach Bogosian is getting back to healthy, so they got a lot of D. I mean, Colin Miller was a healthy scratch the other day. They got a lot of D. I got to think they're going to do something there. You know, New Jersey, obviously, we're watching, you know, what they're going to do. You know, I wonder, too, I watched them a little bit on the weekend, was Nashville. And I could see them looking for a depth defenseman. You know, they're some of their deeper pairs are really struggling. And they've had some ugly results lately. Their goaltending hasn't always been great. But I could see Nashville trying to shore up its third pair. I mean, the problem is there's so many teams tied to the cap, Ryan, that a lot of these are going to be dances. Like, you know, the problem for Toronto, if they move Barry, is that it's 2.75. Because Colorado's keeping half the money. It's not, I mean, he's a really talented player. And I think if he goes somewhere else, he could refine his game. But it's not like it gives them a boatload of cap room. So, I mean, to me, the biggest problem is the cap room or the lack of cap room available. But I do think that there are some teams that are really starting to look for things.
NHL insider Elliot Friedman joins Pinner and Steinberg every Monday, today with Peter Klein.
Would Montreal be one of the teams in the market to make a move after losing Drouin and Byron over the weekend?
Well, you know, the one thing I really believe with Montreal is, you know, I really like their year. I think they're playing really well. I know they lost the Devils the other night, but generally I think they're playing really well. I got to think if I'm Bergevin, he's looking at this like this is a year to add. And even before the injuries where they lost Byron, we haven't gotten an update on Byron, but Drouin's agent, Alan Walsh, tweeted out he's gone about 8 weeks. I could see them. I mean, they've got a lot of kids who might be ready to play. You know, this might be a good opportunity for Paling and guys like that. But I think irregardless of the fact that those guys are hurt, I think the Canadians have to look at the way they're going and they have to be thinking of, you know, we gotta add some. Like, I could see them taking a swing at Taylor Hall if Hall's available. Like, that is something that would make some sense to me.
Wow. On Taylor Hall's team, shakeup in net as Corey Schneider placed on waivers, Louis Domingue recalled. Obviously, it has been a tough 24 months for Corey Schneider. What do you think is next for him?
Well, I just think he needs to regain his confidence. Like, you can't, like, if you look at the way all these teams are playing backup goalies right now or tandems, you know, we've seen Mackenzie Blackwood twice in the last, I think, 2 weeks play both ends of a back-to-back. Twice. Wow. Like, how many goalies get both ends of a back-to-back now?
Not many. Not many.
And that just told me that the Devils absolutely don't believe in Schneider right now. And he, like, people have talked about the injury. I think it's also a crisis of confidence. Like, he just doesn't believe in himself the way you need to believe in yourself. You don't have to be this super egomaniac, but you have to believe that you can stop a puck, or if one gets by you, as it will, you're going to be able to recover and stop the next one. And, you know, I just think, like, you know, he needs the opportunity to go to play, make saves, feel good about himself, and hopefully it happens in the American Hockey League. Like, he's a really great guy, one of my favorites to deal with, and, you know, I hope he rediscovers the confidence. But I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, that's, you know, everybody talks about the injury. I don't know, Peter, if it's the injury anymore. I think it might be just, you know, how he just doesn't have the belief you need to be a good goalie.
One team who's got back on track, who we pay pretty close attention to out here, the San Jose Sharks have won six in a row to get back to 500. Now, all of a sudden, a win out of a playoff spot in the Western Conference. Is it just, okay, they're back, no problems here, San Jose is back to the team we're used to? Or is this just a blip of positivity on a team that might not be trending the right way?
Well, you know, I do think some of the depth is back. You know, they went out and they got Marleau, that Simak is back. He's been, you know, he hasn't been great, but at least he gets people playing in the right spots and he gives them some minutes on the ice. You know, they still aren't getting a lot of great saves. I mean, Kane's been killing people on the power play. You know, like, they got some life, and we see teams that go through bad stretches and good stretches. They got a lot of talent there. I just think it's to me, it's too early to say. It's like, you know, Wendell Clark used to have a saying when guys came to Toronto, he would tell players, hey, you're never as bad as they say you are, and you're never as good as they say you are. And I look at San Jose, I'm like, they can't be as bad as they were, but I'm not sure they're as good as this yet. And, you know, so I think they're probably somewhere in the middle. I just don't believe, like, you look at their save percentages, I just don't think you can win with that. I think it's impossible, really.
Colorado Avalanche in town tomorrow. It's a one-game homestand for the Flames. Two thoughts on them from you. First off, do you have a sense on whether either of the number one or the number two will be available? And secondly, just your thought on Matt Calvert, who got absolutely drilled with a puck in the head and the play continued for ages. I feel like the league's got to do something about this rule.
Well, first of all, it sounds like they practiced today in Vancouver. So I guess they got like a Roxy night or somewhere. and it sounds like both Grubauer and Francouz are getting closer. So, you know, we're getting there. They'll be back. You know, as for Calvert, you know, it's not the first time we've seen that. Like 2 years ago in the playoffs, or 2.5 years ago in 2017, he was in Columbus. Remember when Zach Werenski got hit and was bleeding even worse than Calvert? And they scored while he was lying there. And I thought that was terrible then. I thought it was terrible the other night. To me, Ryan, there's an easy fix for this. There's a new rule in the league this year about your helmet. If you lose your helmet during play, you either have to immediately go get it and put it back on properly, or you have to go to the bench, or it's a penalty. However, there is a slight loophole there. You are allowed, if you're involved in the play, to continue in that play as long as you're involved in it. So what I would like to see in both the Werenski and Calvert situations are, if the player goes down and there is an immediate scoring chance, you let the immediate scoring chance happen. But in both of those situations, and Werenski's was against Pittsburgh and the other night against Vancouver, both those teams passed it around for a few seconds before they scored. So I would use it the same way they use the helmet rule. Referee's discretion, immediate scoring chance, let them have it. If they start passing it around, blow the play dead. I think if you can allow them to do that once, I think it would do that with the helmet rule. I think you can allow them to do it with the injury rule.
Yeah, and you just hope you don't have the unintended consequence of people embellishing, but I'm less worried about that than I am in some other sports.
Well, the thing is, like, both those guys were bleeding on the ice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's a bit different. Like, it's not like there's a guy lying there. Like, you know, Werenski was really bleeding and Calvert was bleeding. And, you know, the other thing too is Calvert, as the Avalanche were quick to point out, it's not like that guy's got a reputation as a diver.
Yeah.
If you're a diver, then that's your own problem. But, you know, I think that, you know, those guys were both bleeding. I think you could have confidently said, I'm going to blow that play dead.
Are you heading out west with the Leafs, or are you sticking in Toronto this week?
No, I'm staying in Toronto. You have a choice. You can put out the fire here, you can put out the fire there, right? So I guess we do it here. I'm jealous, though. Like, Chris Johnston He left on Sunday morning, so he's had 3 days in Vegas. He saw you guys there last night. You'll see the Leafs there tomorrow. I mean, I want to see that expense report because it's going to be a joke.
Do you have a good line on liver transplants? Anything to help? I think he's a coworker, right?
He's a coworker. I do, but like I'd say, the Chicago guys last week, they went from Vegas to Nashville.
Oh.
And I do a radio hit in Nashville on Thursdays, and I'm like, I hope their health insurance is paid up because that is a brutal road trip. Like, you have to show up to play, and that's not an easy recovery.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was the Winnipeg Jets postseason a few years ago. They went back-to-back Nashville and then in Vegas.
So yes, that's true.
People have survived that. That's impressive.
They went from Las Vegas to Nash Vegas.
We'll talk next week. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a great night.